Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Growing up and getting older is a fascinating process. I can remember being a kid and trying to hurry up the arrival into adulthood and thinking as a child of all of those things that I could finally do when I grew up that I couldn't do in that moment of childhood. I could drive and go wherever I wanted to, whenever I wanted to do it. I could go and buy whatever I wanted to from the store without anybody telling me no. I could stay up as late as I wanted to, and there'd be no bedtime. It'd be great, I thought. I probably don't have to tell you that as a child, I was a little naive and short-sighted about what it actually meant to be an adult. Certainly, there's more freedom that comes along with being an adult, but there's far more responsibility, too. Not only do you have the freedom to go wherever you want to go and buy what you want to do and basically live or do the things that you want to do, but you also have to find a suitable place to live, a job that can pay the bills, so that you can pay the bills, food to buy to keep you healthy, and an endless list of other adult tasks that you have to take care of. Now, this morning, I'm not so much focused on those tasks or those parts of becoming an adult, but something else that comes with adulthood that I think is a little bit more striking as we join together to observe Epiphany today. This other thing that I noticed about reaching adulthood is a little bit more disheartening to me. And that is the loss of wonder. Now, maybe you've been better than I have at maintaining your sense of wonder as you've gotten older. But I found in my own development that in many cases, I've lost the sense of wonder. And one of the most apparent times out of the whole year for me for that is at Christmas. Now, Christmas as a season is one of my favorite times in the entire year. I can vividly remember from my childhood the wonder that came with this time of the year, how it was full of anticipation and excitement. From the moment that we cut down our Christmas tree and put up the first decorations, all the way until that last present was open on Christmas morning, there was all sorts of wonder. There was wonder with the lighting of each candle on the Advent wreath as it showed us how much closer we were getting to Christmas. There was the wonder to find out what exactly was wrapped under the Christmas tree. And the wonder of the Christmas story itself is we remembered Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem and the birth of Jesus and the singing of the angels. The problem is now, as an adult, I know exactly how much time there is between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and what has to be done in order to prepare for Christmas to come. Sometimes the lighting of the candles on the Advent wreath cause more stress than wonder, as they stand as that ominous reminder that Christmas is getting closer and closer, and there's still so much to do. Now I know nearly everything that's wrapped under the Christmas tree, and all the effort and the expense that went into getting those gifts. And even the Christmas story is so familiar that sometimes it's easy to breeze through. Maybe you felt that way too. It's easy for us to breeze through this Epiphany story that we recount today as well. Even though we get the 12 days of Christmas between Christmas and Epiphany, which should be enough time for us to kind of recharge and refocus, it's often that we take the Epiphany story and just roll it in to Christmas. We put the Magi in our kids' Christmas services. We see them in our nativity decorations, maybe in our Christmas cards and our favorite Christmas carols. And so sometimes they just get packed right back up with the Christmas decorations right after Christmas, and we lose the significance of this Epiphany account and why it was included in Scripture for us. But I have to tell you something else that I've learned about growing up. I learned this kind of at Christmas this year. It's the fact that having children can help bring back some of that sense of wonder. Now, I certainly don't want to make it sound like you have to have kids in order to bring back some of your sense of wonder, but I discovered this year that it certainly helped me. My daughters are 5 and 3, and they're just kind of hitting that sweet spot of wonder as they're looking around and taking everything in and seeing so many things for the first time and trying to put all the pieces together of things that they're seeing and hearing. And honestly, it's a lot of fun. This year, we were talking a lot about the Christmas story, and one night we were watching the animated movie The Star. And as we were watching this, it struck me about what it would have been like for all of these people, from Christmas to Epiphany, what it would have been like for them to experience this story. You see, I think we're so spoiled because we know the beginning, the middle, and the end of it. And so we get to see this all as one big picture, and we can kind of look across and see all the details and know exactly how things are going to turn out. But think about living it in real time. Even with the angel's promise to Mary and Joseph, there was still a lot that was unknown as they journeyed along the way. The same goes for the Magi that we remember on Epiphany. Just think about how little detail we have. We have this account in Matthew's gospel. Matthew tells us that they came from the east, that they first showed up in Jerusalem. They needed guidance from the scripture to finally find Jesus. They bring him gifts. And finally, that they're warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, but to go home a different way. And that's it. That's what we've got. But think about it. Here, these people who studied the skies, they studied the stars and the planets and everything that was up there, and they had enough familiarity with the Jewish scriptures to make a connection back to this promise of a new king. And then they set out, journeying to Jerusalem. They didn't know what they were going to find when they arrived. The star doesn't seem to be guiding them at this point. They just know that a new king for Israel is most likely going to be found in Jerusalem. And so when they finally arrive at the palace, they expect to see this new king. And yet instead, they find the current king, who's rather perplexed at this idea that there is a new king that he's unaware of. Imagine how weird this would have been and confusing for the Magi. What do you mean you don't know about the new king? Maybe it caused them to doubt themselves a little bit. Maybe we got this wrong. Maybe we're in the wrong place. Maybe it's the wrong time. Maybe it was a wasted trip. But then, after some consultation with the scriptures, they're able to narrow down God's promise to Bethlehem and be on their journey again. Although after that interaction in Jerusalem, maybe it seemed to them that they were on a wild goose chase now. They find the star again, and it's low enough to guide them to exactly where Jesus is. And they're able to present him with gifts fit for a king, gold and frankincense and myrrh. But again, maybe there were some second thoughts. The current king doesn't know about the new king. The new king is with some poor parents in a dinky house in a small town. Sure doesn't seem very kingly. And yet that's exactly where the star led them, confusing as it might be. Finally, after all of this traveling, they're able to lay down and get some rest, only to have that rest interrupted for them by a message from God that says, "Don't go back to Herod. Go home a different way." Imagine what that trip home was like. The conversations that they had, the things that they processed through. What did we just experience? Who is this baby? What's this thing about a new king? Why didn't we go back to Jerusalem and tell King Herod? Wouldn't it be good for these two kings to meet each other? See, I think when we slow down and we take the steps through this story a little bit more slowly, the wonder starts to return. It's pretty miraculous that the Magi found Jesus in the first place. Steal a few words from the catechism. It wasn't by their own reason or strength that they were able to find him. God the Father revealed his son Jesus to these foreigners so that they could make it there and see him. And the fact that they did is good news for you and for me today. You see, I think in our own lives, it's so easy to become familiar with where we've come from that we just kind of gloss over our own story of salvation, our journey to faith. We might think to ourselves, well, my family has been Lutheran for 5 generations. Of course, I believe in Jesus. I'm in the church. Or if you become Lutheran from another Christian denomination, maybe the same thing. I've been Christian my whole life. Or if you come from a place outside of faith, and you made it to being a Christian. You might think, I evaluated all the different religions and denominations, and I read books, and I studied, and I finally landed in the Lutheran confessions, and I made it. Now, in each of these cases, while we know that we're saved by grace 100% of the way, I don't think any of us would argue on that. It's easy for us to gloss over the story of salvation, to fail to realize how big of a deal Epiphany is for us as Gentiles. See, that promise that God made to send a Savior wasn't to you originally. It was to God's chosen people, the Israelites. We were on the outside. And God very easily would have been within his rights to say, yep, sorry, it's for my people. I brought them out of Egypt. I've been with them through thick and thin. I've saved their tails from more troubles than they even realize. Just for them, that's it. Y'all are on your own. But that's not our loving and gracious God. Paul tells us, desire all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, while it'll take some time for the Gentiles and even for God's chosen people in Jesus' lifetime to realize that they are a part of the story, God wastes no time in Matthew's account of Jesus' birth to put these Gentiles right there at the beginning to see the king. This means that even if we rush through the Christmas story and lump the Magi into the same night as Jesus is born, you're still hearing that wonderful message that the baby born in the manger was born for you. The new king of Israel that the Magi come to find is not just simply a king of some small Middle Eastern country, but he is the king of the universe. When we slow down and pay attention to what's happening here, we also are reminded that God reveals his son to us through means. Certainly the Magi saw the star which piqued their interest, but it wasn't until they consulted the scriptures that they knew exactly where to find him. The same way God has come to you through his word. He has spoken the life-giving message of salvation found only in Jesus to you. He's called you to faith in this small baby born in Bethlehem. He has made you heirs of the wondrous riches, far beyond gold and frankincense and myrrh, the wondrous riches that come along from being related to the king. Now, as you experience life and Christmases in the future, both in your own family and in your ministries among God's people, slow down. Hear the story anew. Rediscover the wonder of God stepping down in creation for you in the way that he revealed this wonderful message to the world. Know that he came for you and that he loves you beyond your wildest imagination. That reality is our hope to cling to throughout our entire lives, both when things are good and when things are bad. But the Savior of the world came from you, or for you. You have hope and life that never ends. Amen.